As you look at those two verses in John chapter 12, when Jesus was speaking in verse 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Jesus said, "Let him follow me." Another way of saying it, let him imitate me. He mentions it right after service. Let him do what I do. Let him bear the burdens that I bear. Love what I love. Let him follow me. You could say it another way, go where he wants you to go. If Jesus is going there, if you're following Jesus, you'll be there too. The songwriter said, "It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to pass that I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go." I don't know what inspires each of you tonight. I'm sure some of you like a good sports story. The underdog team wins the game. Or you might like the story of a beautiful song, the story of songs that are written. When I was a little kid, I loved to hear missionary stories. We had a lady that was part of our church, and she also traveled with Child Evangelism Fellowship, and she would come to our school and have five-day clubs, and she'd tell missionary stories. Her name was Mrs. Samuel, and she was the best storyteller I ever heard, but I was young, so I hadn't heard a lot, but I liked when she told stories, and they inspired me. I liked to listen to different stories about different missionaries, and I remembered a lot of the details of the stories, but I couldn't remember who was who, so I'll confess that I went to the source of all knowledge, Wikipedia, to make sure that I had the right name with the right story. And I wanted to share a few with you tonight. One that I remember hearing about was Amy Carmichael. She was a missionary in India, and she founded an orphanage. She was there for 55 years. The part of the story I remember was that she talked about trying to blend in with the other people, and she would stain her skin with dark coffee. And when the lady told the story, she'd show the picture of her kind of painting her skin to be darker so that she'd blend in more, and would wear their clothing. And she had a ministry to girls that worked in the temple there. They were almost like prostitutes, but she was saving these girls from a life of just terrible abuse and sin that they didn't even know was sin, and she was a missionary. And the story was told that when she was little, she really wished that she had blue eyes. She always liked her brother's eyes were blue, and of course there was a picture of her with her brothers and blue eyes, and she always wondered why God wouldn't give her blue eyes. And then when she became a missionary and her skin had to be dark, and her dark eyes allowed her to be accepted by the people that God had called her to have a ministry to. And then I thought about that story this week and thought about what an inspiration it is to go where God wants you to go and to stay a long time. While in India, Amy Carmichael received a letter from a young lady who was considering life as a missionary. She asked Amy, "What is missionary life like?" And Amy wrote back saying simply, "Missionary life is simply a chance to die." And I thought about that in context of the verses that we read of a person giving their life for what Jesus would do if Jesus was still here. And I thought about when they asked the children, all these girls, and even she started ministry to young boys that were trapped in the same kind of life. When they asked what drew them to Amy, they said, "Well, was it that she had the same color skin? Was it that she wore the same clothes that you wore?" And the most often repeated reply was, "It was love. Amy loved us." And I thought about how challenging that is to me, how challenging, inspirational a story can that be to spend your whole life and to have the people that you went to minister to you say, "Well, she tried really hard, but what stood out was the love that she had. Follow what Jesus said, follow me." I thought about another story that I remember seeing was David Livingston. He was a medical missionary, and he heard a man named Robert Moffat preach, and he talked about the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary had ever been. And he got convicted. He really had started out wanting to go to China, but a war broke out, and he wasn't able to go to China, so instead he went to South Africa. And he talked about those people that had never one time heard the gospel and how he wanted to go. What an inspiration to go where Jesus would go if Jesus was here. He wrote the words to the song, "Only One Life. I only have one life, and that soon will be past. I want my life to count for Christ. What's done for him will last." And he wrote, "Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. Sever any tie, save the tie that binds me to thy heart. Lord Jesus, my King, I consecrate my life, Lord, to thee." And again, I don't know what inspires you, but hopefully if you've ever heard snippets of these stories, I know many times Dad's put them in the few words from Brother Darrell talking about something to challenge us to follow Christ, to go where he would go, to love as he would love, to serve others as he served others when he was here and as he would still do if he was here in the flesh. I thought about the story of Jim Elliot. He was one of five missionaries that went to Ecuador, and he tried to build a rapport with the people around him. That was a violent tribe of people, and he thought he had an inroad, but they had told lies about him and his friends, and they killed him. They killed him and four other missionaries, and he's famous for writing in his journal shortly before he died. He said, "He's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose," speaking of giving his life for the gospel, giving his life for Christ. Later on, his wife and other members of the families of the missionaries that had died went back and gave the gospel to maybe some of the same people that were responsible for his death, but gave the gospel to that group of people that he wanted to reach. An inspiring story of somebody deciding and listening to the leading of God and saying, "That's where I want to go." And one more I thought about, Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary to China, and I remember when Mrs. Samuel would tell the story, she'd hold up the different pictures and talk about young Hudson Taylor and what he wanted to do for God. And he was the founder of the China Inland Mission. He spent 51 years in China, and he began the society that he started, the organization that he started, was responsible for bringing over 800 missionaries to the country and began 125 schools, directly resulted in 18,000 Christian professions of faith conversions, as well as over 300 workstations where 500 local helpers served in all 18 provinces. And he wrote in a letter, "If I had 1,000 pounds, China should have it. If I had 1,000 lives, China should have them. No, not China, but Christ. Can we do too much for him? Can we do enough for such a precious Savior?" And, you know, things that happen in your childhood are a little bit more traumatizing. Everything is kind of more black and white and sticks in your mind. And I remember those stories and being challenged to want to do something for God, something big for God. And not ever wanting to lose that desire. I wondered what these people had. Jesus said, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." And I think most of us understand what he was trying to say. He wasn't saying you wake up every day and say, "I hate my life. It couldn't get any worse. I'm going to die." It was somebody that said, "I love eternal life so much more than I love my life here on earth. It's an opportunity to give from what God has given me." Sorry, like I said, I'm sure it's not that emotional, but it was to me as a young child. Tonight there might be, I know there is one group of people I know I'm speaking to, and this sermon is for you. And there might be another group here tonight that is also challenged by that story, that those stories speak to you. Someone willing to change their appearance, change their home, give up everything, say, "I know it's probably not going to end well for me, but my life is worth giving for something greater than my life." And that person may be here tonight. There might be a great preacher, a songwriter, a leader, a missionary, a Sunday school teacher, an author. I thought about the programs that we have at Awana. Somebody had a burden and said we should start an organized program that everybody can do, that everybody can be a part of, and make it organized work that people can do. Somebody had that burden enough to start it and get it going. The things that we take for granted, somebody was the first one to do it. A Sunday school class. Somebody said, "Let's meet a little earlier and let's study the Bible. Let's have Sunday school." So I know I'm talking to one group of people that this all applies to, but you may not be burdened to be a missionary or leave your hometown and do what these people have done. But I know I'm talking to another group of people tonight, and God is asking you to go somewhere too. And it won't be South Africa or China or India, and you won't have to dye your skin or wear different clothes. But it might be somewhere that you may not feel you want to go. It might be a trial that you're going through. It might be you see something coming. It might be like Judy talked about in her testimony, it might be something that you just don't know what to do next, and you don't know how to handle it. Every time somebody joins our church, dad, pastor, pastor, dad, always ask them, are you sure that God is leading you here? Are you sure this is where you're supposed to be? And I thought about that as each of us respond to the call of Christ. Is this where you're supposed to be? And I'm a worrywart. I worry all the time. And I constantly am reminded. God puts reminders in my life, and sometimes in a very public way and sometimes a very private way. But God reminds me this is where I want you to be. I might not always be doing what he wants me to do, but I believe that this is where I'm supposed to be. And hopefully all of us have that to some degree. You say, you know, like when we join a church or we say, this is who I want to be with, this is my people, that God has led you here. Today I was joking around with Brother Clyde. He said he wanted to go somewhere where he didn't get so many sick people, so many prayer requests, and I said, good luck with that. But even as I was saying it, I'm glad Brother Clyde's here. I'm glad he's part of our church, and I'm glad that God led him here. I'm glad that God led me here. I'm glad we get to be here together to serve God. So that to one group of people I'm talking to, you may yet have God may want to send you physically somewhere else. God may want you to give your life in a great, spectacular way to lead other people, to be an inspiration to a little 4 or 5 year old boy that watches a missionary story. But to everyone, God is calling you to go somewhere, and you may not be ready to go yet. And I want to encourage you tonight to go where God wants you to go, to do what God wants you to do. I know this coming this week, there's some surgeries that are going to take place, and you're headed to a path. You're about to go somewhere where you have not yet been. You're about to hear news that you don't want to hear, or you're about to experience something that you may not be ready to experience yet. You're facing something this week. There's a struggle that's coming. As someone said in the testimony, there's a struggle in your heart, in your mind. You don't know what to do. Feeling of being overwhelmed, of crossing one thing off the list and two more things come up, and you never get to the bottom of that list. You can never get anything completed. A headache, a frustration, to something that is coming in your life that Jesus said, hey, follow me, that we're going to go down this path together. And you look at down that path and you say, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm strong enough to go down that path. I don't know if I'm strong enough to represent Christ the way that Christ would be represented if he was going through what I'm going through. So whether God has burdened your heart with missions or whether he has burdened your heart with what we'd say barely surviving one day to the next, just being a good Christian and representing Christ well, I think the same advice applies to both. Go where he wants you to go. Say what he wants you to say. Be what he wants you to be. Go obediently like Samuel did when he heard the voice of God calling and he didn't know who it was. And Eli said, go lay down in your bed. Next time you hear it, tell God, you're speak, for thy servant heareth. And that's what Samuel did. He said, speak, for thy servant heareth. Go obediently like Samuel, not like King Saul did when he had his own idea. God had told him to kill the Amalek or kill the Amalekites, and he wanted to save some of the best stuff for himself. He said, okay, I'll go in that direction, God, but I'll do my own thing. Go obediently and leave the rest to God. Go willingly and go right away, like Abraham did in Genesis 12. In verse 1, God said, get out of thy country. By verse 4, Abram departed. He went right away. He didn't know where he was going, but he followed God. Go willingly and right away, like Abraham, not like Jonah. God said to Jonah in verse 1 of chapter 1, or verse 2, go to Nineveh. And by verse 3, Jonah was running in the other direction. Go willingly and go in the right direction. Go where and go willingly and right away, like Abraham did, not like Jonah. Go and don't turn back. Forsake all, like Simon Peter and Andrew, when Jesus called them. In Matthew chapter 4, he saw Simon and Peter, and he saith unto them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Straightway, immediately, they left their source of income. They left everything, and they said, oh, if I got a direction that's from God, I'm going to follow it. I'm going to forsake all and follow it. Go and don't turn back. Never undo in doubt what you did in faith. Go with his spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I know Pastor gets very excited. I get excited too in a different way. I told you I was getting inspired reading these missionary stories again and remembering. But just imagine that you not don't imagine. Just remember that you have the Holy Spirit within you. You face the same problems, but you don't face them the same way as those in the world do. You don't face them listless, with no direction, with no idea what to do. You have the Holy Spirit of God living within you, under the direction of the Son of God. Jesus sent him. The Bible says in Romans, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit speaks our language, and the Spirit speaks God's language. I have two sons. Neither one of them speak the same language. It's a constant battle trying to figure out what either one of them are saying, and they're not speaking the same. And sometimes they need a go-between to explain to one what the other is saying. And sometimes when we get to God, all we can do is groan. All we can do is grunt and say, I don't know what to do. And the Spirit says, Father, they need some help. They need some direction. We go with His Spirit. You go down that path with the Spirit of God. Go with His presence. Moses said to God in Exodus 33. I like when Moses talks to God, because he always seems kind of impatient or kind of frustrated. He's usually not mad at God. He's usually mad at the people that God is asking to lead. But Moses, when God and Moses talk, Moses always reminds God of what he said. And if you're married or you have a friendship that sometimes you might have disagreements with, it's not always the best to remind the other person what they said, because you can kind of use their words against them. But I like when God and Moses talk, because Moses said, God, you said that you're going to show me the path. You said that I was supposed to lead these people. He said, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses always said, remember, these are your people. These aren't my people. These are your people, God. And God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Moses says back to God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses said, all right, we've talked about all this before. Bottom line, God, if you're not going to go with us, I don't want any part of it. I'm not going to go. And the same thing is true for us. Go with God's presence. Realize it's part of our life. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in their midst. Remember that when you're going through a tough time. Remember that when you're on the phone with another Christian. Remember that when you're sitting in church with another Christian, that God promised in his name he'd be in your midst. You're not alone, and you're going in his presence. Go with his protection. In Psalms, the Bible says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Go with God's protection. You have it. Act like you have it. You're part of the family of God. Remember that when you're going through a trial. Remember that if God has called you to the mission field, or God has called you to get up tomorrow morning and get ready for the day. Remember that God's protection goes with you. Remember that he is around you, that the Holy Spirit indwells you. Remember that as you go through the trials. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When you go down the path, whether it be to serve God in a foreign country, to write a song of praise to him, to stand before a Sunday school class, or to be a preacher, or to be a singer, or to be a grandfather, a grandmother, mother, father, a leader, standing before someone else that wants to learn about Jesus from you. They want to see what Jesus would do if he were here. Remember that you go with his protection. You go with his Spirit. You go with his peace. In John 14, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I told you I'm a worry wart. I need these verses. If you're ever reading the Bible and you're saying, why does God constantly reassure us that he is with us? Why does God constantly tell us not to be afraid? Why does God constantly tell us that he will be with us? Some of those verses he had to put in there for me, so I'm sorry, but they're there because I needed them. So I'm thankful that God knew who'd be reading his word, and I'm sure some of you might feel that same way sometime. Like, I'm sorry God had to keep saying it over and over again, but I need to hear it. Remember that you go with his peace, you go with his power, In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, "The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Sometimes when we talk about the cross, we only use it for salvation. But the power of the cross, God gave us as a daily reminder. Not that we need to get saved again, not that we need to realize that every day of our lives, because if we are saved, we're in his hand. But the power of the cross, what Jesus did at the cross, is the same power that God has provided to us as Christians, that faith that moves mountains. The power that we see as Christians is ours in the name of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Again, we go with his peace, we go with his protection, we go with his power. Remind yourself of that, whatever trial you are going through or whatever road you're headed down, whether in great faith, stepping out in great faith to serve God, to represent Jesus, or in your daily life, which sometimes takes great faith and requires a lot of strength to do what Jesus would do if he were here. Back to the song, a songwriter said, "I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be." There's surely somewhere a lowly place in earth's harvest field so white, where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus the crucified. So trusting my all to thy tender care and knowing thou lovest me, I'll do thy will with a heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. Sometimes we get off track. Sometimes we say, in the big things, in the big scale missionaries, you know, flying the airplane and dying for the cause of Christ, I know God was there. I know God's Spirit ushered them into heaven, but we don't remember that God promised his Spirit to each of us as Christians. And those trials that we go through, whether they be great or whether they be in some people's eyes, whether they be small, God promised his direction, his leading, his protection, his peace in those situations as well. So whether it be around the world, and someday you might be some lady's flannel graph as she tells her story about a great missionary, a great preacher, a great servant of God, whether somebody makes a picture of your journey or whether no one else sees it, whether it's just a parent that's struggling to teach their children what the Word of God says, whether it's a grandpa or grandma praying for a grandchild that seems to not be doing what Jesus would do, whether it be a great struggle or a daily small struggle in someone's eyes, go where he wants you to go. If God has ordained that you go down that path, go boldly, go with his protection, go with his presence and his peace and his power. We need to obey his leading willingly and right away. We need to not turn back and forsake every distraction. We need to realize we go with his Spirit, realize we go with his presence. We go with his protection. We go with his peace. And we go with his power. Paul said, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Vaughn sing that song, "Either Way I Win." And whatever we go through here on this life, whatever trial we go through on this life, we know that we've already have a home prepared for us in heaven. There's a reunion coming again. I know what Brother Darrell's friend they brought, Jesse, came this morning. He was sitting out in the hallway, and he said he found out his mother has cancer, and they've told her she doesn't have very long to live, and he's praying for her. She needs to accept Christ. And he's headed down a path where he needs people praying for him. He needs encouragement, and he needs to be willing and bold to give the gospel to his mother. And as Christians, if we're not careful, we'll just listen to those stories of the past, and we'll say, "Well, that worked for them. I'm glad they believed in God. I'm glad they had boldness." But we fail to realize that same thing is available to us. God's grace is still amazing. It's still available. And it's still ours that he prepared for us. Just like he put some of those verses in there for me and some of those in there for you. He had it ready to go. He already saw the situation that you're going through. And he had his power, his protection, his provision ready for you. We're going to have a word of prayer. If something said or something that you thought of while I was yammering up here. If you need to deal with something in your heart and you want to take some time and we do it at the altar after a service, this is our opportunity to pray and say, God, you've got a path prepared for me. Help me to not hesitate. Help me to be willing to go and do and be what you want me to go and do and be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that it can inspire us. Thank you for the people that were willing to follow your leading, that gave of their life, that sacrificed so we could have sometimes things that we take for granted. So we have things that we don't have to think about because somebody else thought of it for us. But help us to realize that what comes from your word is true. Help us to realize that your spirit is within us as Christians. I pray, Lord, for someone here tonight that does not know that, not sure of heaven, as hasn't ever accepted Christ as Savior, that tonight they'd come, we can show them from the Bible. We can show them they're not on this journey. They're not headed down a path. Shouldn't be by themselves. They should have the Spirit of God within them. They should know that they're protected by God's hand and they're a child of God. I pray, Lord, that whatever decision needs to be made tonight, that nothing would be a distraction, that we'd cast it aside, decide to follow you and be what you want us to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.